is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, great to be with you again. We're going to continue our series, No Zion Without a King. And no king, but King Jesus. I tell you, this is one of the most important series that we've ever run. And this is part six. And we're going to continue it all the way through because, I was so excited studying for this series. When you're talking about Zion, and I love that old hymn, don't you? Marching onward to Zion. Well, I'll tell you, we're marching onward to Zion, but we always keep our eye fixed on that great throne and the one who sits on it. And you know who I'm talking about. And that's a happy, happy feeling, isn't it? And that's a very exuberant, victorious message when you're talking about Zion and the King. And a lot of people have this so mixed up today with Schofieldism and other false doctrines that have been taught for about 100 years now. I just feel so sorry for people who don't understand that once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you're already entered unto Zion, and you're right there before the throne. Friends, when Jesus was here on earth in the flesh, of course, he's right here now today. He's with us always in spirit. But when he came as God, Emmanuel, God with us, John chapter 1, I want you to understand. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's among you. He was the kingdom of God. Did you know that Jesus is the seed of Abraham? That's what Galatians chapter 3 says. And it says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. Because, friends, what he is, you also are part of. Did you hear what I just said? What Jesus is, you are part of. Oh, I love that. You're the head. The body, and he's the head. He's the lamb, and we're following in his train. And listen, you keep your eyes fixed on the lamb. Wherever he goes, you follow him. He's the seed. There's only one seed. But if you are of him, then you are of the seed. This is a great mystery. Many people cannot understand that. They get so mixed up on the seed of Abraham, they think it's the physical race of the Jews. They do. But you remember those Jews that complained to Jesus and they just declared that they were the seed of Abraham. And he said, yes, I know you are the seed of Abraham. And he meant physically, of course. But you're our children of the devil. How can you be seed of Abraham but children of the devil? Because all they could think about was the flesh, after the flesh. The Jews after the flesh are Abraham's physical seed. They were his DNA. They were the genealogical heirs. But the Bible tells us, don't waste your time with all this genealogical mumbo jumbo. Now, it doesn't use the word mumbo jumbo. That's just Tex Mars. But that's what it says. Don't get involved in disputes, Paul said, about genealogical things. Can you believe all these people, they go back, and of course the Mormons, they've made a whole profession of it. I mean, one of the biggest things in the whole Mormon church is going back and studying their genealogies. Friends, what you've got to do for God today is sufficient. Did you hear what I just said? Don't worry if your great-grandfather and your great-great-great-great-grandfather were Christian or not and were baptized or were not. or whether they're living in purgatory to, you know, and they need to be prayed out, baloney. You, the evil that you face every day in this world of ours, Jesus said that's sufficient for you to think about and worry about. And that's all you need to think about. And if you got your mind on Jesus, you're not going to worry about it very much either. Let him do all the worrying. That's what we do here at Bible Home Church. We don't worry very much. We let him do all the worrying. You know, I found out that I can't worry enough to fix things. No matter how much I worried, I just couldn't get things fixed just right. And then I began to depend on Jesus more. And, you know, they just got fixed by themselves, it seemed like. The more I had my eyes fixed on Jesus, the more everything in this old awful world seemed to work right. And when things didn't right, well, I just hung around a little while longer, had faith, and they eventually did come out okay. Think back in your life, some of the worst nightmares you've ever had. You probably just laid in bed worrying, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to get in trouble. My boss is going to do this to me. Oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. People are going to find out about something I've done wrong, and oh, my. And, you know, next day it didn't turn out to be as bad as you thought it was. Usually most things don't turn out to be as bad as you think they are going to turn out. But even if they do, so what? Next week, things will be a little bit better. And the next week, things will look up a little bit nicer. And you know what? If you're with Jesus, you just turn it over to him. We've had people lie about us in this ministry, make up fictitious stories, slanderous, libelous. I mean, I'm telling you, friends, I know people that would have slit their own throats if they had been Tex Mars. I know people that really would have wanted to put a rock around their body, tie it, and just cast them, just push themselves off a cliff into the depth of the sea if they had been Tex Mars, having read what some people say about me. But you know what I do? I say, well, that's not true, and I just turn that over to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing said about me that I'm going to worry one bit about. And you know what? I just go right on doing my little thing for God. And after a while, everything is okay. Everything is over and done with. You say, yeah, well, Tex, well, did it hurt your reputation? Well, not in heaven. They still think the same thing about me they did before. You see, God already knew all of my faults. He knows everything I've done and everything I'm going to do. And he knows I love him. And that's all that counts. So what men say about me, what kind of deal is that? Who cares about that kind of stuff? I've gotten past the age where I worry about what people say. I'm just not politically correct. My neighbors don't have to love me, although I am blessed with neighbors that seem to like me a whole lot. And I would think my neighbors wouldn't like me at all. I mean, me being an old, mean old Christian fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christian, we're stereotyped as bigots and haters and no accounts. But my neighbors, they seem to like me just fine. I wonder why that is, if I'm such a bad guy. But, you know, friends, it's wonderful just loving the Lord and not letting anything get to you. I tell you, I am a type A personality. You know, they have type A and type B. They say type A personalities have more of a tendency to have heart attacks. They get their nerves all shot. But I'm one of those type A personalities that has learned to just turn it over to Jesus. When I start getting all stressed out, I put my feet on top of the desk, and I just lean back and I just roar with laughter. I do that every once in a while at home. Wanda will say, what's going on? And I say, well, I was just reading these letters here, and boy, these people, they're saying the worst things about me. And Wanda says, well, what are you laughing for? I'll say, well, I think it's funny. I think it's funny. They don't even know me, and they're saying things about me like this. And she just laughed one time. She said, well, what are they going to think when they do know you? I said, well, I hope they like me. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I have already entered into Zion. Friends, the gates have been shut behind me. I am in Zion. I'm worshiping the King. And if they're going to do evil against Tex Mars, Well, they better do it fast, because I'm telling you, I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth. It could be a year, a month. It could be 20 years left that I've got to go. But I'm going to spend every day for Jesus, and I'm going to let all the critics and all the naysayers and all of the people out there that want to slam Texmars, I'm going to let them have a heyday. I'm not going to retaliate. If there's anybody out there that's planning to write some libel or slander about Texmars on the internet or publish it or whatever, I want to tell you right now, please go and do it. And let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm just going to say, Lord, look at this fool go. Look at him having a ball. And now, Lord, what do you want me to do tomorrow morning to make him mad at me? See, that's why people are mad at me, because I tell the truth. If I just told lies and went along with the world, I'd be the world's friend. But I tell the truth, and people just get angry. They're not angry at Texmars, really. They're angry at the truth. So why should I worry about that? So I just go about my little business. Friends, you do that too. You treat everybody right. You treat your neighbors the way you'd like to be treated. You treat your family the right way. Do the right thing. Don't be hemming and hawing and saying, yeah, but my sister did this and I'm going to pay her back. Don't do that. Yeah, well, my brother, you know, he made me feel bad at Christmas one year, and I'm just not going to go back for that family reunion at Christmas. Forget about what he said last year, 5 or 10 years ago. Go back home again. See your family. Hug his neck. You know, it might end up with him asking you to forgive him. But even if it doesn't, so what? Let it go. You got some friend that you used to really like, but you heard they're talking behind your back. Well, let them go. Next time you see them, run up to them, hug their neck, and say, oh, sister, brother, it's been so long since I've seen you. I'm so happy to see you. I wish you'd come to see me tomorrow. Visit my house. I'll have a piece of cake and a cup of coffee for you. You may shock them. They may think you're running up to them to slap them or something. They probably deserve it, let's face it. But just shock them. That's the way to be happy, friends. Shock the whole world. The world thinks you should be this way or that way, and you be just the opposite. They think you're going to be bad, you be good. Always do what Jesus would do. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. And, you know, Jesus did some things that made people real mad and angry. He overthrew the money changers, tables and all those things in the temple. Must have made them pretty mad. Boy, don't you know they were saying some hot things about Jesus? I bet they were calling him hypocrite, and that was probably the nicest of the words they were calling him. Of course, remember that? Some of them even called him Beelzebub the devil. Said he had devils in him. So, you know, I think I've been pretty well off. I mean, I've had a few people call me devil too. You devil, they say. You racist pig. I've had them call me all kind of names. And when I think about what Jesus went through, well, I'm going through nothing. It's I got a picnic going on here. Everybody listen to me, friends. Listen to me. Your life has been a picnic compared to Jesus. Do you know that? Just get out a copy, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Go to your library and get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read what those early Christians had to put up with. I mean, they were sawn apart. They were fed to lions. They had rocks tied on their body. They were thrown into the sea. They were beaten. They were scourged. They were stoned to death. Some of them were burned at the stake. And what was their great sin? They were caught with a Bible. Well, you weren't supposed to own a Bible. The priests were supposed to preach all the truths to you. And some of them just wanted a Bible in their own language so they could read it. Oh, no, only the priest should be reading the Bible. Put them to the stake. Your life is a picnic, friends. You can write to us. You might agree with me. You say, oh, Tex, I've got it so hard. Whine, whine, whine. Oh, things are so bad. And, you know, some people do have it pretty tough. Their wives have left them for another man. Their husbands are cheating on them. They've got a terrible disease, cancer, whatever. I do know some of you go through great trials and tribulations. Hey, I go through those same things. But you know, the more your body hurts, the more just say, boy, Jesus, I can't wait to be with you and have that immortal body. The more people do you wrong, just say, well, I know I got one I can count on, Jesus. And know this, friends, you've got somebody that'll pray for you. We will pray for you. Please write to me with your prayer needs, your prayer requests, no matter what it is. We always keep everything in confidence. We're never going to, you know, give your name over the air and it all. But we want to pray for you. Hey, it's an honor to pray for a fellow Christian. Did you know that? I get credit with God by praying. I have the time to spend with him to pray for a fellow saint. And I think God says, good job, Tex. I like to hear about Sister Stella or Brother Bob. He likes to hear from Tex. That's right, he does. Oh, man, I've got an ego problem, don't I? God likes to hear from me. No, I don't. That's what the Bible says. God wants to hear from you, too. Would you pray for this ministry that we would be successful? Would you pray for all of the enemies we have against us, that God will turn it around and make them our friends? Would you please? We'd like you to pray for us. I'm not going to ask for any love gifts or offerings today. I just want you to write to us and tell us any prayer needs you have. Love to hear from you. Hey, if you disagree with me on something I've said, I'll listen to you. And I'll even pray for you. And you know, if I'm wrong, who knows? I might surprise you. I might shock you and admit it. It's possible. In any case, we've got the cathedrals here telling you that they know who holds tomorrow. And then we're going to continue our series, No Zion Without a King and No King But Jesus. I'm your pastor, Tex Mars, at Bible Home Church.
land. There the sun is always shining. There's no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky.
On to say, and strangers from the covenants of promise. You were a stranger. God didn't know you. When he called his sheep, you weren't one of them that came running. He didn't know you then. You were a lost Gentile headed for hell. And there are lost Jews too. Having no hope, it says here, and without God in the world. That's right. You were in the world, but God was not in the world. This is Satan's world. He is prince of this world. And that was your God. In fact, Paul says that Satan is even God of this world. Small g. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. You were an alien. You were not a citizen of the commonwealth of Israel. You were not part of the Israel of God. You were a Gentile in the flesh. In time past. Wait, here's some good news. Verse 13 says, But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That means near or right there. You're right part of it. How did that happen? It says, by the blood of Christ. But wait, I've been told, Texmars, that Jews are over here and Gentiles are over here. We will always be Gentile. They will always be a Jew. I don't care what you were told. I like what Paul, let's go back to what Paul said. You see, he didn't just stop there. I love Paul. He just explains it over and over and again. And all the Judaizers, they just don't want to read it, I guess. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, that's Christ Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one. Both Jews and Gentiles, he's made them both one. Why? That cannot be. They don't teach that at Dallas Theological Seminary. They don't teach that at Fuller Theological Seminary. Why? Well, that's not, oh no, wait. I read that book by Wolvoort. I read that book by Lindsay. I read that book by Hunt. They didn't teach me that. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no wall between you and the Jews. You're both one. What does one mean to you? Does it mean two? It means one, doesn't it? The next verse, verse 15 says, for to make of him in himself of twain, that means of two, one new man. He's taken the Jews and Gentiles. And when they were those of them who will accept God, who have faith like Abraham did. If you have the faith of Abraham, faith in Jesus Christ,
Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you must be born again. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus was a Jew. He didn't have to be born again. He was already born into the superior master race on earth. They were going to have the kingdom. They were going to rule everything. Maybe Jesus would come and be the king. But Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. But Nicodemus says, well, how can you be born again? I can't come out of my mother's womb again. I'm one of the learned elders of Zion. I'm one of the great Jews, the rulers of this earth. I'm one of the gods of this. They even called themselves gods. Small g. Rulers, gods. Yeah, they did. Jesus said, ye must be born again in spirit and in truth. The Bible says, for flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When you're born again in spirit, what race are you? I want you to ask me that. Answer that, my friend. You go in, a Jew or a Gentile, you come out totally something else. You ever seen one of these scientific experiments? The chemist in the lab, he puts one ingredient in. It looks a certain color and thickness and viscosity and so forth. Then he puts another one in. It looks totally different. And then suddenly something starts bubbling up and man, it just comes out a totally different, a third color.
If you're thirsty and dry up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.